George, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
No worries.
So to start off with, would you mind perhaps explaining for us what the different types of hackers are?
Yeah, so generally there are three different types of hackers, and they're classified as a hat color, effectively. So there's a black hat, grey hat, and a white hat. Black hats are described as malicious hackers, so they're the ones that you see in the hoodies, and you know, their intent is really to breach security controls. You know, they operate legally, and you know, they have very different motivations. So you know, for personal financial gain, it could be political gain, or they're just seeking to cause some chaos. Grey hat hackers are a little different. They still operate, I guess, illegally, but what they try and do is they try and find vulnerabilities in networks without permission, which they can then do various things with. So they can either sell those to government agencies or to security companies, or they can, if they don't get a buyer, they can potentially disclose them to the public. I guess the reason they're seen as legal is because they can't give consent. And then finally, there's the white hat hackers, and so they're also known as ethical hackers. And what they do is a little different in that they're usually engaged by an organization, and they're paid. Obviously, there's contractual requirements. And what they do is they try and identify the security posture of an organization. So they'll see you've got vulnerabilities and get a report, and at that point you can work on remediating those. So if that's the three, the very high level, the three different types of hackers.
And so how would someone, I guess, go about being recognized as a white hat hacker or an ethical hacker?
So, good question. There's a few different avenues you can take, and a lot of people have worked in IT for many years, and they've had an active interest in kind of how things work, and they've always tinkered with technology and so forth. And so what they do is they grow their career and see that there's an opportunity to become a hacker, which does sound kind of glamorous, right? Especially given that you're given permission to do it, and what you're doing is illegal. There's various ways of going about it, so they can be self-taught. There are certain courses that can help, help you become an ethical hacker. One of the things with that, though, is that they can't teach you everything, but they do give you a solid baseline into the techniques and tools that are used. And mind you, I forgot to mention that the tools and techniques used between black, grey, and white hats are basically the same. So that's technique. There's courses either through potentially universities, or there's a lot of private or institutions that will do ethical hacking courses. And from there, once you've done that, you can do things like certification. So there are various different bodies that will certify ethical hackers, and they can be anything from theory-based tests to the more difficult practical-based.
And so with the recent ransomware attacks that have been going on, there's been some calls for corporations to be able to hack back. What would the ethics of this be?
Another good question. That's always a fun discussion point. So, and it's interesting you say that. So I think there's the kind of feel like there might be the right to defend, someone sort of attacks you. Can you, in defense, attack them back? I know that generally that is considered illegal, and I think there's a couple of reasons why. And honestly, I think there are issues around it. So, for example, one of the issues that I foresee is that a lot of attacks happen because infrastructure has been compromised, and the infrastructure that's compromised may not necessarily belong to the attacker. So, for example, if an attacker breaches a service somewhere that belongs to Company X, and then Company X attacks Company Y, then it's not really right for Company Y to attack back Company X, because they didn't do it. I mean, there was issues with their system, but good attacker is going to try and mask where they're coming from, generally speaking. So I think there's certainly a lot of issues around that. What's interesting is that I think it was the one of the representatives in the U.S. in Georgia. He's actually proposed a bill amendment to one of the Computer Fraud Acts to say that, you know, there should be an exclusion from prosecution in the event that, you know, you're a victim of an attack, and it should allow you to attack back. So that was only recent, so I don't think it's been passed yet, but it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
And just before I do let you go, George, how effective do you think hacking back would be when it comes to actually deterring hack attacks?
I think it's the same thing. I'm not sure it would be that effective, given that a lot of attacks will happen through other systems. So if you think about, I guess one of the, so not so much malware, but one of the big, I guess, impact attacks is known as DDoS, a distributed denial of service attack. And so that's where, you know, effectively an attacker will cause your system to stop responding and no longer be available for legitimate use. And, you know, that's typically created by an attacker compromising a set of, you know, computers all over the place, and they're effectively becoming, you know, bots or robots. And what they're doing is all these systems that are not owned, once again, by the attacker are attacking a target system. So if you go back and try and retaliate against that, you're effectively kind of contributing to the problem by, you know, attacking back a system that, you know, belongs to somebody that really probably hasn't done anything wrong.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. We will definitely have to keep an eye on this one. George, thank you so much for joining us.